house, the kind some people call haunted, is like an undiscovered country waiting to be explored. Hill House had stood for 90 years and might stand for 90 more. Silence lay steadily against the wood and stone of Hill House. And whatever walked there, walked alone.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
I don't stay after dinner, not after it begins to get dark. I leave before dark comes. We live in town, 9 miles, so there won't be anyone around if you need help. We couldn't even hear you in the night.
Why would we?
No one could. No one lives any nearer than town. No one will come any nearer than that in the night, in the dark.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I'm your host, Jason Bishop, and with me today in my haunted studio apartment. Nah, it's just haunted by me. Trish Coughlin.
Hi, everybody.
And Sam Stepanenko.
I am the ghost.
I've got Jeff in storage in the basement until next week, because that's what we do with Jeffs.
Did you remember to put holes in the box this time?
Oh, shit. I'll be right back.
Oh, shit.
So this week we are talking about the classic Robert Wise movie The Haunting, based on the novel by Shirley Jackson called The Haunting on Hill House, and that name will probably be familiar to you Netflix watchers as the new Mike Flanagan event series has hit Netflix and is a huge, huge success.
It is being much talked about.
So why not? Let's talk about the two films that have also been adapted from this book. And, of course, that's the 1963 Robert Wise The Haunting and the 1999 Jan de Bont adaptation as well. Not strictly a remake, per se. It's a re-adaptation of the novel because they didn't actually have the rights to remake the Robert Wise movie, but
it's semantics.
That's the semantics of these things, because we've probably covered some like that before, and we'll cover some like that again, because if you're adapting from the same material, they're gonna look the same.
Is it one of those where they just had the name and they didn't have the property, do you think?
No, they had the rights to readapt the book.
Which is interesting, because they did still call it The Haunting.
They couldn't actually emulate shots from the film, but there's all these elements that are the same.
Because they're taken probably right from the book rather than from the other film.
Yeah.
Yeah, their workaround for the stairs. I know, two sets of stairs.
Well, I haven't started watching the TV series yet, but if there's no spiral staircase in the garden, fuck off.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm out. Fuck off. But from what I've heard, it's there, so I'm fine.
Awesome.
But I can't wait to get to it. But the reason I haven't gotten to it yet is because we've been watching 31 horror movies over 31 days that we've never seen before. So we can do our 31 days of horror specials starting next week.
Yeah, we'll be next week, yes.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, we will be done, but we're recording this, we're almost done.
Yes.
Got a few days left in October yet.
We're in that final bit.
Yeah, in that final stretch. So we're looking forward to doing that. We'll do that as a two-part special, and they could be mammoth, because we got an extra Jeff in the room.
Well, I don't know. Assuming the whole side of the box, I don't know what's
happening. I'm not sure. I got one in there, and he squealed a little bit when I used the drill.
Oh, good.
I might have gone a little deep.
Oh, no. Well, trepanning, it might have just...
Yeah, maybe.
He might be fine.
He might be fine. Just a little air into the brain. It's
relieving some pressure.
Yeah. You know, it's got to be pretty stressful living amongst the spiders.
Yeah, in a box.
Exactly. And get that little bit out of the brain where that's just making him scared. He's probably just relaxed right
now. Yeah. I mean, and you guys know from last year with the shit cans, so.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you guys had better accommodations because I like you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Jeff's a red shirt.
Yes, very much so.
He has to earn his special can.
Yeah, that's right. Earn it, Omega. Earn it, Jeff Omega. All right, the 1963 The Haunting is directed by Robert Wise, who, man, he's got some stuff. He's got some stuff. He directed The Day the Earth Stood Still, Sound of Music, Andromeda Strain, and Star Trek The Motion Picture, the one that bores everybody. It's still a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's still a good movie. The screenplay was by Nelson Gidling, who wrote The Andromeda Strain. Movie was budgeted at, which, you know, for 1963 is a pretty hefty sum, $1.4
million. Wow.
It was all the house.
Yeah, it's a... Well, yeah, it's all that stuff is stage stuff, but the house is definitely for sure. And grossed $2.6 million in the U.S., so it did all right. I mean, back then you didn't have to triple your budget to make some money because marketing was a lot cheaper. And you probably saved some money by going black and white on this thing because 1963, color was definitely around, and you had big colors at that point with that mod styles, especially in the U.K. going on, which was where this was filmed.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, I'm like, if it was in color, just like the visuals of that house, I would have loved to have seen what they did.
Well, we do get to see it in color in the 1999 version, directed by Jan de Bont. Screenplay for that was David Self, who wrote the 2010 remake of The Wolfman. He also wrote Road to Perdition.
Oh, okay.
So, you know. Be nice. Budgeted at $80 million, it grossed $177.3 million worldwide. It's okay. It's not a huge success. It didn't. That's not quite in the profit territory, I think, but it did okay.
Well, double, more than double, so you're profiting, but they always want like a bunch of profit. Mm-hmm.
Here's a bit of stats for you though. The IMDb has this original film at 7.6 out of 10 with a Rotten Tomatoes score critic wise is 87% and the audience score is 82%. People love it. Ah. And then there's the remake. 4.9 out of 10 on IMDb, which that's still okay for a horror movie.
It's good for a horror movie. Yes.
Rotten Tomatoes,
I guess 18%?
No, that's 12? An improvement. It's the Rotten Tomatoes critic score is 16%.
I was close, though.
You were really close.
I said 12, so between us, we're close.
Yeah, and the audience score, anybody?
22.
That's not bad. Sam?
I'm going to go with 27.
Oh, you, man. You win the prize without going over. 28%.
Oh, man.
Audience score. Now, I think that's unusually harsh for this movie, but it does fall apart in the third act. So
yeah.
So we'll get there.
Yeah, I think I might be disagreeing with you a little bit. Actually, I know I am.
All right, well, we'll get there.
I have several questions. There's some mess. Like, I get what you mean. There's some messiness to it, but I find it overall like an enjoyable movie to watch. Well, it's a lot of good, dumb fun.
Perspective, after watching the first one and then watching that second one, there's so much like that's.
There's stuff in the original film that doesn't age outside of the 60s very well. Like, they do, some of the lines come off a little cheesy. But so much of that movie is sold through atmosphere and the actors kind of reacting to things we can't see rather than trying to replicate something we can't see.
Well, and the simplicity of it I enjoyed more.
Yeah.
Because it created a mood a lot so much better.
Yeah, it's all down to camera angles and actors reacting to things that aren't there, where special effects kind of take care of that in the remake.
Well, yeah, that it did not age well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I was reading about is like the book itself. A lot of it, there's a lot of hinting at it where you're kind of in some instances left to guess whether this is actually going on in Eleanor's head or whether it's actually happening. Mm-hmm. Or also Eleanor might just be telekinetic, not realize it, be causing a bunch of the stuff and not realize that she's the haunter.
That's right. And they kind of capture that elements of that in both movies. But not cohesively in either movie.
Yeah, originally the scriptwriter actually wanted the whole thing to happen in her head, and she's like in a hospital bed reacting to the people that are around her. Ironically, I have a movie to talk about in our 31 Days of Horror very much like that. But they chose not to go that direction. It was a bit of too much of a departure from Shirley Jackson, who wasn't too thrilled with that idea.
Yeah.
So they stuck a little closer to the source material.
Yeah. It's interesting because I haven't read the book, but it seems to me like the original movie is a little more true to the book. But the one deviation is the motivation for them to be there, right? Because they're all supposedly have had supernatural experiences in the original, whereas in the book and in the remake, we're calling it a remake, the characters are what they were in the movie. They're the housebound daughter, the artist with Theo, and Owen Wilson's character, Luke, was I think I'd be able to remember that. His brother's name is Luke. But he was the owner of the house.
Yes.
Right. A relative of the owner of the house, and he was supposed to be the monitor.
The remake rejiggers a little bit as they're all test subjects that are sleep deprived.
Yes.
And it's a bait and switch test.
Totally unethical.
They rename Liam Neeson's character. The original doctor was Dr. John Markway. Yeah. They renamed him Dr. David Merrow. He's about the only one that gets a rename in this movie.
Yeah.
I guess Markway's kind of awkward anyway, but Merrow just makes you sound kind of evil.
Well, yeah, it does. Like Dr. Merrow, it sounds like he's just grinding bones up. As Sam was saying, like unethical, but also kind of dumb. He says he's going to study how people react to fear, so he's going to use sleep-deprived people? Doesn't that muddy the results just a little bit?
You would think, because they're already susceptible to suggestion.
Yeah,
and he even mentions that in the movie.
Yeah, and he's taking him to a place with atmosphere. I don't think he even believes this place is haunted, just atmospheric. And he gives the seeds of the legend of the house, which everything is that he says is true. He never lies about anything, but he seeds the story to give them some fear and watch it build. Yeah, it's really unethical and quite mean. But I guess if you're signing up for a study and...
Yeah,
And Theo's the one that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would you sign up for it? You're clearly rich and don't need the $5.
Right? Yeah. I was putting my own narrative kind of on Theo. Like, she's like, I just want to get away from it all. Like, my boyfriend, my girlfriend are bugging me, so I just need to get away, do a study.
And she does say that, yeah.
I mean, granted, they're in the hopes of getting some help with their sleep deprivation. Although Theo seems to be okay with it.
Yeah, she actually says, I don't think I want to cure it because that's when I get my best ideas.
Yeah.
So I think she's kind of just that free spirit there for the adventure. And like, this is an old house. I kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get something out of it.
Theo in both movies, I think, is the boldest character, but not more so than the one in the 60s where she's bi at the least, lesbian at the most. They never come out and quite say it, but she's definitely attracted to Nell in the film.
The subtle subtext of that was so brilliantly done.
And you know that's to dance around the studio being uncomfortable with that subject matter, but I think it works better by not saying it.
Yes.
But inferring it and giving you little clues. Yeah,
And there's a huge commentary later on when Nell freaks out and calls her a freak of nature.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, whoa. I mean... I think that's more of a double statement because she is also psychic.
Yes.
Yep. Which she's not in the remake.
Or in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think that helps hide, again, that subtext.
Yeah. So there's lots of cleverly written stuff there. All right. Before we get in the trailer here, The Haunting in 1963 stars Julie Harris as Nell, Claire Bloom as Theo, Richard Johnson as Dr. Markway, Russ Tamblyn as Luke Sanderson, who owns the house. Stands to inherit the house.
Yeah, if his aunt dies.
If his aunt dies, yes. Faye Compton is Mrs. Sanderson. Rosalie Crutchley is Mrs. Dudley. Lois Maxwell is Grace Markway. Valentine Dial is Mr. Dudley. Diane Clare is Carrie Fredericks. And Ronald Adam is Eldridge Harper. And that is everybody in this movie.
Yep.
Everybody.
They're both fairly small casts.
They are, for the most part.
Yes.
The remake in 1999 stars Liam Neeson as David Merrow, Catherine Zeta-Jones as Theo, Owen Wilson as his brother Luke.
You know what?
See what I did there?
Yeah. Yes. But like, he's playing basically a Luke Wilson part.
Yeah, he's playing Luke Sanderson. Lily Taylor is Nell. I'm not sure why she was so far down the card, because, I mean, I think...
She's the best, like, she's the best
She's the star
one.
Of the film.
She is the lead of the film and the focus of the film, yes.
Yes, and that was my primary reason, one of the primary reasons I wanted to see The Conjuring way yeah. back when, was because I'm like, she's already done this.
Yes.
But I mean, she's a good actress. I've seen her in so many things.
Bruce Dern, who we talked about. Actually, we talked about Liam Neeson in our Clash of Titans, by the way. Mm-hmm. Go listen to that. Bruce Dern, we talked about even more recently in...
Silent Running.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the episode number, sorry.
His role has been cut down quite a bit in the original theatrical of this, but I read some stuff that he was actually in more scenes, because why cast somebody like Bruce Dern only to have him in a glorified cameo?
That did confuse me. That answered the question.
Marion Seldes is Mrs. Dudley. Alex Coramze? Mary Lambetta? let's see. We got Todd Field is Todd Hackett. Hey, that's an easy one.
Nice.
Virginia Madison is Nell's sister Jane. Michael Cavanaugh is Dr. Malcolm Coff. Tom Irwin is Lou. Charles Gunning is Hugh Crane. And Hugh Crane is the ghost of that's in the house, the original owner and builder of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Saul Prevere is Richie as well. So big cast there, but a lot of guys are written out fairly quickly, like the assistants to Dr. Marrow in the remake
get
taken out right away, just... as the first scare, and we're lucky enough to leave alive.
Right?
Yeah, and it gave... I hate that scene, to be honest with you, because it gives away so much about what's about whether or not it's actually supernatural or not,
mm-hmm.
because you see that key turning to make that string tight so it breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Right then and there, the movie almost lost me, because I was hoping for that slow build, but I knew that this scene happened, but I didn't realize it happened so fast in the movie.
Yeah, it's really quick.
It is very quick.
Yeah, and I'd almost forgotten about it, but I'd seen both of these films before. I've probably seen The Haunting remake two or three times, and I've seen the original Haunting at least a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is my first viewing for the original.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a treat for you.
Yeah, it was, actually. Yeah. While I was watching it, I'm like, oh, this is pretty hokey and pretty cheesy and dated. But then I watched the remake, and I'm like, oh, actually, the first one was actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, because some of it does not age well, and even I sit through it. But I'm usually dazzled by the camera work and the choices Robert Wise makes in the film. And even though Julie Harris's character is kind of annoying as Nell and overacting and just responding to almost everything. Yeah.
They're so fucking catty.
Yeah.
Both of them. Both Theo and Nell are so catty.
Theo, it's weird. Theo, most of the time, I feel sometimes she's being catty, but other times, like that one time, she's like, she's just trying to get a rise out of you to get you to stop being scared. And I'm like, no, that's exactly what Theo's doing, because Theo's very aware. Yeah. But it's sort of like Nell has not been out of somewhere for so long. Like, I mean, honestly, she's been locked up basically and treated like a child until well into her adulthood.
Yeah,
so of course she's going to be stunted.
Because she's been taking care of her sick mother and just been at her beck and call. She's never gone out into the working world. She hasn't got anything to call her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the original film, she's sleeping on the living room couch. I'm like, how many years have you been doing that?
Right?
That's horrible.
Yeah, no, you feel a lot of empathy for Nell, especially in the original.
Yeah.
Oh, in the original, I specifically wrote down, her sister's a fucking bitch. I hated that woman. I'm like, going, fuck, take her to the house. Get her dead. Just get rid of this woman.
Well, they're both, Virginia Madsen and her husband are absolute assholes, too. It's like,
they're reprehensible.
They are. It's like, we're going to sell the house that you've been living in. We're going to take 2/3 of the money or half the money.
Yeah.
But we're going to give you the car. But
for all your hard work,
you've been doing unpaid labor for 11 years. And here's our deal.
That we're going to take the money you're going to pay for out of your proceeds from the sale of the apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're going to just offer you a job, because, again, we want you to be more unpaid labor, because I just view you as a fucking slave.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. Like, they're in their minds, they're trying to be nice. Like, no, you're screwing this lady over.
You're garbage people.
And it's amazing that how well-adjusted Nell actually is, considering all of that.
Like, considering the ending of this movie, I'm like, awesome. She's at least away from these assholes forever. Yeah. Like, all I know she dies, but come on.
Oh, spoilers.
Oh, it's 99. It's almost 20 years old. No spoilers.
All right, let's run the trailer for everybody, and we'll be back right after.
God, it knows I'm here.
Look, I know the supernatural is something that isn't supposed to happen, but it does happen.
Now look, Doc, we're buddies, okay? But don't try to convert me.
I'm trying to prepare you. My name's Marquay, Dr. Marquay, a scientist interested in the supernatural. The unnatural, if you like. I came to Hill House to find the key to another world. Assisting me in this exploration of the unknown was Eleanor. Nell, who could look back into the past. And Theo, something of a witch, who could see into the future. This is Luke, who didn't believe in anything. Until evil, patient and waiting, made him change his mind.
Stop it! God. Whose hand was I holding?
How many of us take seriously the things we cannot or do not want to understand simply because we are afraid?
Eleanor, you call! Did you hear me calling?
This house. You have to watch it every minute.
The Haunting was produced and directed by Robert Wise, brilliant producer of West Side Story. The stars consist of a cross-section of top talent in the world of entertainment. Julie Harris, Claire Bloom, Richard Johnson, Russ Tamblyn. What does it take to convince you that the dead do not always rest in peace? That some houses, like Hill House, are born bad?
You know, I like how, like, the trailer for this and the presentation of the film kind of makes it feel like a much older movie than a 63. Like, it feels like something out of the horror heyday of Universal in the 40s and early 50s.
Mm-hmm. It does. I kept forgetting that it was 63 because, I mean, Skylar was watching it with me and she said, why isn't this in color?
Yeah, the black and white totally makes it feel older. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just the way the gothicness of the set and the performances and just everything about it.
I kind do
of feels
like the
older.
Sets right. in both of these. Like, at least the one in the original film feels more like a natural manner per se. The one in the remake is so overdone and so opulent and
super over the top.
I had to think that they took some of that inspiration in designing that set from The Legend of the Winchester House, which ironically has its own movie as of last year, which, meh, it's okay. It's meh if anybody wants to see it. We won't be discussing on 31 Days because it happened in our off time.
Yes, it did.
But The Legend of the Winchester House, just briefly, is when the male Winchester who founded the Winchester Rifle Company had passed away, she feared that all the victims of the guns of the Winchester Company were coming to her to haunt her. So she kept adding on the house and building it in confusing and weird ways to confuse the ghosts so they wouldn't find her.
Yeah, and it was building 24/7.
And 24/7 and never stopped during her lifetime.
She was told through a psychic, if she did if she stopped building, it would be bad. So she had to do it all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting legend that actually, I mean, I don't know how much of it is true, but the building did keep going during her lifetime. So, and she would finish a section. If they weren't building in a new spot, they would go and tear everything out of an old spot and redo it. And it just kept going and going and going. It's open to the public now. You can check it out. Yeah. But I think that had a lot of inspiration for
1999
The Hill House. In the 1999, because there are some rooms that don't make a lot of sense. I mean, the spinning ballroom's pretty cool.
It's built
with children in mind.
Yes.
That is part
plays
of the
story. Yeah.
Yeah. Which and does play
the,
into the
story. And the hallway with the water and the brook pathway.
Yeah.
I love that. I want it in my house.
It's beautiful. But, yeah. You're right.
But yeah, it didn't make sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun, but then you got the doors for giants. Like,
yes.
Wow. What a tremendous waste of space. And how exhausting or strong would it be for all the staff and people to open and close those motherfucking doors that are...
clearly like, metal.
Yeah, metal and 40 feet fucking tall.
Yeah, and like when Luke is trying to close the door, he's like, okay, now I'll give you some privacy. What they should have done is I expected a moment where he's like, just having trouble closing it because it's a big, huge door.
Let's talk about that door for a second, because that particular door... is what they call the gateway to heaven or hell, the door of judgment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they do talk about it. And there's two people who touch that door that we see in the film, and they're the only two that
don't make
die
it
in this movie.
Oh, that's true.
There's only two that you actually see touching it. That's correct.
Yeah. So in a way, they're already telling you that these guys have already been judged and aren't going to make it, which is clever.
It's very much a subtlety that for in a film that wasn't very subtle for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it wasn't subtle. There's nothing subtle about this movie.
No.
Oh, well, you're going right in. There's no misdirect on that. They're going into a haunted house is basically what you're going into this movie
I mean,
as.
The original story is a haunted house story. There isn't a whole lot of subtext to that. Like, the stuff that they wanted to do, the more psychological stuff, was in the original film, and they managed to kind of sneak it in underneath the themes of the film and still keep it fairly true to the book. And I think that was pretty clever on their part.
I think it was very clever on their part. And I really enjoyed that ending versus the ending we got in this remake.
Yeah, because Nell really wants to be a part of that house. Like, she's really taken with it right away. And as she learns more and the house is kind of possessing her in a way, like, you can tell the house wants her. And vice versa. Like, she's finding a purpose now that her mom's gone. And there's a lot of reminders of that trauma in her life.
A lot of them, yeah. The banging, when there's her first experience with the banging on the walls. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the house knowing what traumatizes her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like, that's the first hint. You're right. Like, it's she's sort of, I like how in kind of both movies they sort of do the automatic, like, oh, okay, the bang is happening. I better get up.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Because you're half asleep.
Yeah.
One thing I really liked about the original, actually, one of the many things I liked about the original was the scene where Nell and Theo are sleeping side by side. Mm-hmm. And then there's the bit with the door. And she's like, hold my hand, Theo. Hold my hand, Theo. And then
she wakes up in a completely different spot.
Yes.
Yes.
Love that.
Yeah.
You're so right. I love it.
Who was holding my hand? And that's all down performance, because it's not like we can see anything actually happening. So it's a case of you're telling me this is happening.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it uses some techniques from radio drama, but we can actually see that expressiveness and that panic.
Exactly. So they've combined the visual with storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the original movie does that very well, even though it's very typical early 60s acting, late 50s acting, where it's over the top and some of the performances are maybe a little overblown for today's viewing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as far as the storytelling goes, I still think that the original was a better storytelling.
I'd agree. I think the remake is very capable in its, you know, first two acts.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the most part, I mean, Lily Taylor, despite how off the rails this winds up going, is really good. I like her subdued performance, because she pulls back from that manicness of Julie Harris.
Yes.
Yeah, she does. She's more likable. Like, this Nell is much more likable Nell than the Nell in the original.
Yeah, Nell in the original, in a lot of ways, despite finding friendship within that group, kept alienating herself.
She did.
She'd fly off the handle on the littlest things.
But again, I always put that down to the fact that she's very unschooled in anything outside of
the house.
She
has no social skills at all.
But I think Lily Taylor was, because she was in an apartment with her mother, and I think part of her responsibility was to leave the house and go do things.
Mm-hmm.
I think she had more social skills, which helped.
Yeah, and it's funny, because in the remake, Dr. Merrow actually says that Nell continues to alienate herself from the rest of the group, but she doesn't really. I don't find that she does.
Does wander off a lot alone,
but she's not alienating herself. She's not saying, I don't want to be around you.
And she, I think she prefers the majesticness of this house, yeah. And she's always off exploring when nobody else seems as curious as her.
That's right.
Yeah. It's her curious nature that kind of alienates herself from the group. And yeah. And I think that's trying to stick to the story and something the film doesn't show mm-hmm. that well.
That's right. But in the original, there's those visual moments or those moments of dialogue where she's mm-hmm. doing it. Right?
Now, they kind of switch the manipulation with Markaway. He's brought everybody in, and he hasn't told anybody he's married. And Nell's very taken.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird, too, because you got Theo who kind of digging on Nell. And Nell is very taken with Dr. Markaway. And
then you've got Luke who's very taken yeah. with Theo.
Yeah.
Don't forget that part,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, and nobody's taken with anybody. Yeah.
But the doctor is very, when you watch his interactions with Nell,
mm-hmm.
he is not dissuading her in any way. He's actively flirting with
and
her.
And, you know, yeah, he should be very aware of what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think he's intentionally manipulating her.
Yes.
And I don't think he has any untoward intentions, but he's using this to manipulate his subjects.
Yeah. But I mean, like, to use it to manipulate his subjects is kind of untoward.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not taking advantage of anybody in a sexual way. It's still very unfair to the people that are there.
And unethical is what
absolutely.
Sam was saying.
Yeah. So neither one of these doctors is cool.
No, but at least Markaway's upfront about what they're doing. And
yes.
even his moments where he's, I wouldn't say he's encouraging Nell, but he's not discouraging her either.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And I wouldn't say he flirts with her, but he does show her a lot of care. And I kind of felt that was because she was the most fragile of the group as well.
Yes.
Right? So I don't know that he realized what he was doing necessarily.
I get a little bit of a hint that he sort of does when it sort of kind of goes his way.
Maybe to a certain extent, but
But, oh God, what I was saying, when you're talking about like the reason people are there, he's upfront about it. The other bit I kind of liked about the original is the reason Luke's there is he kind of just completely wants to disprove that this house is haunted because he wants money out of it.
Oh, yeah. No,
and that motivation really
yeah,
seems strong.
They talk about that in the original meeting even before he goes to the house is Luke's going to be there and
yeah.
Hopefully you can show him a thing or two so you won't want this house.
Right?
Yeah. And I really like the fact that they played him up as being a skeptic and a drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a card shark.
And a card shark, yeah. He's a pretty yeah. reprehensible human being when you really think about it.
Well, on paper, but he seems very likable in person.
Yeah.
He's
but
got
that's
that
something
charm.
They say. Yeah, he's be careful of him. He's a charming, and he'll swindle you.
He's got that, like, sociopathic charm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't see him too outwardly, like, do anything too dastardly. He does
no.
talk, as things start going off the rails, he talks about burning the house and that sort of thing. And the house doesn't take too kindly of it. And I
oh,
like how
no.
they kind of adapt that into the film where the house is, like, very obviously, well, you're going to burn me? Fuck that.
Right?
Grab you and throw you in the fireplace and take off your head.
I yeah. have to say, I know it's dumb and over the top and crazy, but the visual of that giant flu, I loved it and how it takes him out.
Why is everything
with the head.
So fucking big in this house?
Everything is so
yeah.
big in this house. And I was gonna go, when you're talking about the doors, I'm like, everything's fucking big.
I mean, that fireplace, I kept looking at him like going, how would you keep it going without entire trees all the time?
Yeah, it's a walk-in fireplace.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
And I
two people.
Yeah, I think the intent is it was supposed to warm the whole house.
Yeah.
Right? So you would be using like logs or at least 4 foot sections of log rather than
yeah.
the normal ones we would use in a campfire.
Mm.
But it's funny, I remember seeing this movie in the theater, probably with you, the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and I remember that scene where Luke's head gets taken off, and I remember going, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was still cool.
I kept waiting for it when I was watching it, and I thought it was way earlier in the movie than
Me
it
too.
Wound up being.
Yeah, and the thing is, I knew it was nearer the end, with sort of in the culmination of all of the events, but for some reason, I remembered more deaths.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know why, but I remembered more.
It's funny, in the original film, it's only Nell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she's yeah. finally is taken by the house, you do think that at one point that Markaway's wife is going to get toasted when
yeah.
she finally shows
right.
up in the third act. And just like, hey, you know what? I need to take you out of here, but if you need to finish this, fine. I'm going to go sleep in the forbidden room that nobody wants to go into.
Right?
At the heart of the house that you've been saving. Like, okay. I don't think he... I get the feeling Mark Waid doesn't like his wife that much. That's why he doesn't talk about her.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I felt that this was a slight vacation for him. He was like, he didn't... I think he obviously didn't tell people he didn't have a wife because he's like, oh, I cannot say anything good about her, so I mean, won't say anything at all.
When she disappears, like, everybody does go looking for her, but, you know, he's easily distracted from it as well. He's like, eh...
Yeah, we'll find her.
The house can have her.
Let's look.
My life, a good upside downside. I'm like, I don't see a downside here.
Okay, so A, house takes her. B, I prove hauntings are real. Win-win.
Yeah. And I like with the almost another triangle that happens because Nell is jealous that the house chose or wound up taking Mark Way's wife, even though it wasn't the person that the house wanted.
Yeah, because she does say it was supposed to be me.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
And I, man, it's that poor girl. She's always like, oh, they're always choosing. So it's like the last person to be picked on the soccer team.
I know. Well, it's weird. It's a weird kind of, she's been so kind of traumatized over her decades where she was chosen for a purpose so that when she isn't chosen for another purpose, it feels weird to her. Like, even if it's a terrible thing, she still wants to be chosen to do it. It's so... so disheartening.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. And the original movie, like, when I first watched it, like I said, I'm like, it's right? But as I thought about it and I stewed on it a little bit, what I really liked is there's very few moments where you can honestly say that the supernatural is occurring, like the pulsing door, the face in the wall. And again, those could have easily been attributed to her mind.
Yeah, because nobody's actually in the room during that time. The only time anybody experiences the same thing she does is
near the
Theo.
End.
No, Theo with the pounding.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. There's that. And again, that's you could have written that off as being something in the house if you were creative with it. But and then the end scene,
there
right?
is, you know, the Luke and Mark Waid do show up in the hallway knocking on the door and they mentioned something that they've been separated intentionally. Yeah. They heard something, went to investigate.
The dog.
The dog, yes. And they feel like the house was trying to separate them. Yeah. But, I mean, in this case, everybody is here investigating what they already know is a haunted house.
Yes.
There's no anything untoward happening in this as far as on Mark Waid's part. This is what we're here for.
This is what they were hoping would happen.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a point where Mark Waid even says, we have to make sure that these are real experiences because even one thing that can be attributed to hallucination will devalue the entire study.
In that third act, when Nell is clearly starting to lose her grip on her mental states and either being possessed by the house or her own mental collapse, and that is up to the audience to decide. But he's like, okay, we need to get rid of her because, like, this could throw off our study entirely. Yeah. We need to get her out of this house. I mean, for her own sake and our study. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this has been a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, which it's when you're talking about like this version versus the remake. In this version, like in the remake, you could possibly put it away to like somebody's outside banging on the walls, making noise, trying to instill fear in people. In the original, there's no reason for either of them to do this because it would wreck their study.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I like that little note where it doesn't make any sense that it could be anything but the house.
Yeah, and that does, in the remake, it does cause some tensions, especially later on, that when it comes out what the study actually is about, and everybody feels like they're being manipulated on all the experiences that have happened, now are been put into doubt because they think Marrow has had something to do with it.
Yeah, and then immediately after, he has his own supernatural experience.
Yeah.
Yes, which I really love that statue bit where it just kind of comes. It's dumb, but I love that statue.
You know, in the remake, I kind of liked the legend of the house, the way they built it up a little bit more, because I feel like Nell has a better reason to stay at the house in the end for the ghosts of those children, rather than in the original film where it was just she felt at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Granted, I mean, all that CGI and all that stuff was just so late 90s bullshit, but her reasoning for be there, I thought, was better.
Yes, they gave her more of a backstory story and a better connection to the house.
Yeah, and she's the one who uncovers that story and the truth around the house, because the legend goes is Hugh Crane and his wife had built the house and they were going to fill it with children of their own, but his wife not wound up not having children and wound up dying in that carriage accident outside.
In the original, she hung herself in the remake.
Yeah. And he did wind up remarrying, but they wound up using the house for the kids that worked over...
In the mines.
Well, yeah.
Let's not get into the child labor issues. Oh. But, I mean, this is 1800s.
It was standard practice, but I have another, actually, point once you get through.
Sure. And... What's actually happening is Hugh Crane's a psychopath. I think he really did want these children, and in his mind, his mind broke. And when he brought them into the house, he was never going to let them go. To keep them there, he was murdering those children and then putting their bones and burning them in that giant fucking fireplace.
Yes, and maybe that's why he had it. It was supposed to be a crematorium, not a fireplace.
Oh,
but
maybe.
There was another thing too about it where it's the fear of the children kind of keeps them clung to there, and it kind of gives him power. So I think he's still kind of a psycho. There was like another medieval practice that used to be done like many, many, many years ago where they would wall up living children into buildings to quote unquote have something to protect it. This is a thing.
What? You should just see Jay's eyes right now. His eyes actually got big.
Yeah. That was a thing. They found skeletons of people walled up.
I do it with Jeff's.
Yes.
Yeah, you do it with Jeff's. See, but I mean, you're not doing it for any sort of weird reason. You're just doing it because we need Jeff next week.
Yeah.
And you're going to let him out. These children were walled up and left there.
That's true.
So, I mean, you're not that bad.
Oh, thank you.
And by... attrition, neither are we, because otherwise we'd be complicit.
It's true. We are somewhat complicit, but, you know, we don't want to go to jail.
I tortured your minds last year during 31 Days of Horror when I kept
you.
Oh,
my God. He fooled us. We're part of a cult. Damn it. We've been brainwashed, Sam.
Oh, no.
Shoot.
Stockholm Syndrome, here we come.
Damn it. Yeah, bad people.
That might be a theme next week.
We're bad, bad people.
All right. Hey, you guys want to listen to the trailer for The 99?
Sure, yes, please. Why not?
All right.
There once was a house. A bright, happy home. Something bad happened. Now it sits all alone.
Is this where you're going?
That's Hill House. It's perfect, isn't it? You all suffer from sleep disorders. My job is to find out why.
What's the deal with the Addams Family Mansion? I gotta be honest, I don't get a real strong sleep vibe from this place.
Don't you love it here? This is so twisted.
Calling it an insomnia study allows me to create a highly suggestive environment to observe the dynamics of fear. You don't tell the rats, they're actually in a maze.
I just think Dr. Marrow's up to something.
Have you ever kept something to yourself because you were afraid? All the time.
I'm sorry. You scared the...
That was the 1999 The Haunting. We talked about the set a little bit, and that was massive and I think overdone, but it was gorgeous.
So pretty. I would love to spend time in that house.
Yeah, no kidding. If nothing else, I just want to throw a party in the spinning ballroom and see many people puke, especially after going to the bar a few times.
Yeah. It was really cool. But the fucking cherubs everywhere.
initially I kind of liked them as we didn't see
representations of the kids.
Yeah, they're representations of the kids, and that's mainly in Nell's bedroom, and that's how they're interacting with her. And occasionally we'll see cutaways, and the cherubs have changed a little bit.
Yeah,
his reactions. But as the movie goes on, it gets a little more and more dramatic and animated, and I would have
almost comedic.
Yeah, almost comedic. And I'm like, ah, oh, you went from subtle to like, oh, we have computer generated effects and $80 million, and we're gonna fucking use it.
Yeah, and that's where the movie lost me. It was just the overuse of the CGI.
Yeah,
yeah.
It actually didn't look bad, even now, by, you know, it's almost a 20-year-old movie, and the effects actually still look pretty good.
Some of them.
I mean, there's some of it's cheesy with the fucking face and the...
Where they become the eyes? I just enjoyed that, just as a visual, because, you've looked at Barnes.
But it's ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous, but I know I've seen, like, you've seen Barnes or houses, and you're like, I see a face. That's so weird.
In a way, I almost feel like this movie might, because of its third act, might come back around into cult status for some of its lunacy.
Yeah, because the third act, I didn't mind the first two acts, but the third act completely lost me.
No, I think the first two acts are like, okay, you know, you're going your own path a little bit, but it's fine. I think everything's kind of working. Every now and again, there's just a little bit over, but nothing too bad. I like the exploration of the house and her uncovering the story of Crane. But once everything's uncovered and Crane's getting pissed off, and the kids, the ghosts of the kids are trying to help Nell, and then there's the ghost conflicts, and it's blatantly trying to attack them at this point, not even trying to hide anymore.
Well, and it undid all that love I had for Lily Taylor's performance for the first two acts.
It does.
And because her performance just goes completely off the rails.
I think everybody's performances are pretty strong, and then, it does. It becomes a fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
Trust me, I love cartoons. I just didn't need it here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm home now, Grandpa, right? Even the way she delivered that line, it was just so painful.
Oh, the hook that she's related.
Yeah.
That bugged me.
I have so many questions, because they're like, well, then Carolyn escaped. Well, then give me more of that story. How did this come about?
And much like when we talked about the House on Haunted Hill a few months ago, she was invited to this study through a phone call that told her to look in the ad in the paper. Yeah. She thought it was Marrow that had called her, but nobody had called her, so we're supposed to be left to
the house called
her over because she's related, but it seems to come out of nowhere. I don't even remember her uncovering the information.
Oh, see, I remember her getting... It was after her sister left, and she got the phone call.
No, I remember. I don't even remember her discovering that she's related.
Well, she... Oh, this is... See, this is the part I think a lot of it's missing, because she discovers that Carolyn was his second wife. That was the first bit of information.
Oh, is he related to... Is she related to Carolyn?
Yes. Yeah. That's where her necklace is. That sea necklace she wears, that's Carolyn's necklace. But then that one door that, like, pushes her away, that apparently was where Carolyn had a baby, but we don't know how Carolyn escaped with this baby or what happened. Mm-hmm. So apparently that's who she's descended from.
Yeah, that's
it. Was very unclear
because it's all told by Lily, because you never really get to see her discovering that information. It's like she finds it out by osmosis somehow.
Well, she first,
it just felt like it was a realization.
Yeah,
it was through the book. Like, I think the pictures she sort of figures out it was his second wife, but I think they're missing a bit in there.
Yeah. Or was she?
And then the
Lily
braid,
Taylor was actually playing the wife in the pictures, and I just didn't pick up on that.
No.
Okay. No, it's just the necklace. The necklace is the only clue.
Oh, okay. So,
and then when she's in that room and she's looking in the mirrors and her face is being morphed, that's showing that she's
related. Oh, that was what that was all about.
They were trying for subtle, but it went to sort of not.
No, it's just confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that particular device, because I think that it gives her a better connection to the house, but that part of the story could have been told a lot better.
Oh, we need definitely more clarity, because, I mean, there's a lot more drama there, and, like, Carolyn figured out what she was doing, then how she escaped, what happened. Like, I kind of want more information about why Hugh Crane, because it could also kind of deal into why Hugh Crane's so fucking pissed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and there's that scene where she goes into Hugh Crane's study, the secret study. And she finds the book that sort of shows all the children getting crossed off the list and all that stuff. But she goes down and finds another book. And I think that might be where she found out more of that information.
The pictures, it kind of comes open, and she found... Because she goes back there looking for something to prove. Yeah. Because, I mean, the book itself, when she's looking at the ledger of the children dying, when I first saw this movie, and again, when I saw it just the other day, all I could think of is, I'm like, well, it was a factory. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's probably just crossing out kids that died at work.
Yeah, but it was always children, mm-hmm. and there were so many of them.
Always between like 10 and 12, yeah. and I just assumed the children would be smaller, if I'm honest with you. Because they were like 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds in factories at that time.
Yeah,
that time,
well, yeah. And, you know, we see their bloody feet and handprints.
Yeah, those are much tinier
and
children.
They're pretty tiny. It is kind of disturbing when you... That's the kind of stuff that I appreciated in the film, because it is disturbing in your own mind.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go overboard with that, because you already know how horrid the crimes that have happened in this house are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, and the crime... Well, just knowing that these children were just in his factory, like, just history itself, that this could occur.
Yeah.
That's still, like, horrifying.
Yeah, I think part... Seeing the ghosts in this movie was the biggest disservice for this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Like the bloody footprints bit where she finds...
That's fine.
Oh, I like that.
Wonderful.
And even kind of morphing some of the structure, I can live with, even though some of it's kind of ridiculous. Just if they didn't go quite as overboard as they did, mm-hmm. I think I would have dug that. Because you could still say, hey, yeah, this is Nell having a bit of a breakdown.
Yeah.
They do cut away from when everybody shows up, and then everything's fine again.
Yeah.
So you can still have it on that precipice that maybe things are happening in her brain. Yeah. But
until that final scene in her room. And yeah. I want to talk about something that really, really bugged me, because it was so, so obvious, is that first time she's in her bedroom and she's looking up and there's those really weird spiky things right above your head.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
gonna couldn't sleep in that bed.
I'm like, as soon as I said to Skylar when she was watching this with me, I'm like, I looked at her and I went, there's no fucking way I'd be sleeping in that bed.
Yeah.
Yes, it'd you
be,
were right.
Oh, hell no. And I'd be fine in a different room.
Oh, if nothing else, I'll be pulling the bed away from that fucking roof.
Yeah. Well, I think it's part of this elaborate bed frame.
I think it's part of
frame.
The bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the elaborate headboard.
I'm like, why would you build that?
Exactly.
Right?
And you know that it's going to play later in the movie.
Yeah. And that, I hate those devices where you're like, well, that's going to work, be important later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't quite the way you expected it to play out, but it did still play a part in a later scene.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If Crane wanted to be part of the house, why didn't he just impale her instead of playing these games of terror with her?
Because he likes the fear.
He likes the fear, and he needs it for his fuel. But what's weird, when you talk about, like, they're just spiking down on top of you, why not go just the obvious direction where you have those beds, like, with the whole frame on top, like a four-poster bed. The things are on the side. It just comes down like a cage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, simple. It's simpler. It makes more sense. I would sleep in a bed where it's just the stuff along the sides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be afraid. It's not weird and it's not over the top.
Exactly. And it wouldn't have been as obvious either.
Yeah. Mm. Also, the whole time when they were trying to release her from that, and they're breaking these things that have pinned her to her bed. And I'm like, wouldn't it have been easier just to tear the fabric of her nightgown?
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, wasting a lot of effort and time.
Yeah, and almost hitting her in the face several times.
Yeah.
I'm like, Luke, dude.
Just chill. Chill, man. I've seen Bottle Rocket. You did a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
You should be a lot chiller than this.
And we got to talk about the wow. Wow.
Oh my God, that would have been a great subtext to the movie where he's like going, yeah, no, I used to like have a lot of weed to sleep, and like he's going through withdrawal. Like he's like, you sure can't have any weed while I'm here?
Yeah, because it's
such a big place. I think he could have found a place to smoke.
Right?
Yeah, but it's just
like a giant fucking fireplace.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Owen Wilson's trademark that wow, right?
Yeah.
It's like Keanu Reeves, whoa.
He does feel like he's in a different movie than everybody else.
He really does.
Mm-hmm.
And Owen Wilson, to be honest with you, I'm not sure how he has become as popular as he has, because he's not – his brother Luke is a far stronger actor.
Well, I think there's a charm to him because he's kind of got a natural delivery.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like he's acting. He's just – he's this there.
Yeah.
And in this movie – with everybody kind of acting, feeling like they're, well, Lily Taylor's really good, but I feel like everybody's just acting. You can feel that they're acting. There's there's definitely times of overacting.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, there are.
But I kind of enjoy
the whole last act.
True.
Yeah.
But the devil is like, are you okay? He's like, of course I'm not okay. Did you see that? And I'm like, you know what? That would be my response, honestly. What the fuck is wrong with you? Of course I'm not okay.
Yeah, and actually the funny thing is Owen Wilson is the best part of the last act
mm-hmm.
because he never goes over the top.
No, you feel like he's still in that note of that character. Yeah. Liam Neeson loses his fucking mind.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that whole last act is throwback to Dark Man for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I play it?
Yeah.
Can I play this scene? Oh, my God. This scene's amazing.
Because it was a controlled experiment.
A controlled experiment? She's in total shock. You can't do that.
I told you, I wasn't meant to be like this.
Oh, come on. You don't care about us. You don't care about insomnia. You just wanted to scare the hell out of us so we'd fit into your little test or model or whatever other bullshit you need to understand this. You can't do it.
You listen. I am trying to help people. My field of study is the science of fear. I try to understand why people act the way they act, why they feel the way they feel.
Yeah.
The way they feel, the way they feel.
What they do, what they do.
What is happening? I feel like something snapped there. Do you smell toast?
Jan de Bont is like going, you know what? Let's just go for it.
Yeah, I blame this whole third act on direction. It's like Jan de Bont was just going, give me more, to the point where it became parody.
Yeah, and I think Liam Neeson knew too. Like
he's probably at that point going like, we were doing fine, then we got here, but it's. This movie, like when you say when it falls apart in the last act, for me, it's kind of, I always hate the point in the movie where the house starts fighting back and starts getting destroyed fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to have it like the house has been around for a while. If it destroyed itself every time it wanted to kill somebody, it wouldn't be standing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like trash in that room trying to keep them from leaving. And
the chairs
getting stuck in the windows and that whole bedroom just gets trashed.
Although if you could do something really funny with it, where they're like going, yeah, they hear the sounds of children, but they also hear building.
Yes.
The sounds of the house is rebuilding itself. That's so creepy. We have a new idea, guys.
There you go.
A house that builds itself.
I might have been okay with that if like they got out, go back to the bedroom and it's fine.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that would have been interesting. Certainly, they had an opportunity there because they had the CGI budget to be a lot more subtle, where rooms changed, where they're going, like, because they talk about it in the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
When they get lost in the hallway, when Theo and Nell are doing that first walk around, mm-hmm. it's like they're disoriented by this house. And I would have liked to see more of that in this remake,
mm-hmm.
right, where they had the ability to have the house shifting hallways and making mm-hmm. itself yeah. more mysterious.
I like when the Dudleys finally open the gate at the end of the remake,
yes.
and then they go in and see the mess. Americans.
Yeah.
No, city folk.
City folk. City that folk, was it. Yeah. City folk.
City folk. Although it'd be funny if the Dudleys went in and they were like going, oh, okay, this is a big mess, but it's not going to be as creepy as it was before. We're good now. Let's tell everybody in town.
Yeah, they can come here after dark now.
Yeah.
Like anybody would want to.
Well, I guess Nell and the ghost of Nell and Luke would be still running around in there.
Well, didn't
you'll be
ascend?
Hearing, whoa, in the hallways alive.
Yes.
And the sound of laughing children, assuming that they're still there. Because that was the point where she was going to stay to take care of the children. Well, but do the children, are they still stuck in the house?
No, I think Crane's stuck in the door and the children have been released to heaven.
Okay, yeah, because he's sucked in by the door of judgment.
Yes.
Oh, and I love the demon.
And taken to his hell.
He tries to go for one last jump scare where he comes out. The demon's like, fuck no, and pushes him right back. Yeah. I love that bit. It's dumb and it's stupid CGI, but I loved it.
Well, by the time you get to that point, you've seen so much of it. It's just like, all right.
Yeah, it's just that whole last act that leaned really hard into almost comedy in terms of some of the stuff that was happening. Even the spiral staircase scene was
falling apart.
Yeah. And showing like, these screws unscrewing and stuff like that. It was so much more organic the way it happened in the original.
Yeah. Just the shakiness of the construction itself is scary enough.
It's 130 years old.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been properly maintained. Just the use of it over the last few days has caused it to weaken. It made way more sense and it was a lot more terrifying.
Oh, and FYI. So
how the fuck did they get down?
That was my other question. I think there was another way down. It shows them going through another doorway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But FYI, okay, we've got a very rickety staircase that hasn't been maintained. So what we're going to do is we're going to put like 6'5 Liam Neeson, the biggest person in our group, onto those very rickety stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Maybe 110-pound Catherine Zeta-Jones. Make her scurry up there.
Yeah. Hell, even Luke Wilson.
Exactly. Don't put your largest person on the stairs. It's dumb.
Luke Wilson. He was playing both.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's... Yeah. there's so many things that worked really well in the original. And again, as you mentioned, this isn't a straight up remake of the movie, the original movie. So a lot of the great things that they could have taken from the movie, obviously they had to be careful not to take too much of it.
Yeah.
Like the downward visual of the stairs, which freaks me out still to this day. They couldn't really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a I liked the shot in the original film on that spiral staircase as the camera's moving up, and they had kind of built a dolly on this wide staircase that would just glide on the rails with a handheld camera. I'm like, oh, that looks really good.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that does look really good in that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want that library, though. In the original?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I wouldn't mind the entryway to the library in the remake.
Yeah. Oh, or a secret staircase to go, like, go behind a bookcase. Who doesn't want a secret bookcase
That's
door?
True.
Everybody does.
To his creepy study.
Yeah. This is very creepy study. With another spiral staircase.
Yeah, a lot of spiral staircases in this movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's very young Frankenstein.
But spiral staircases were pretty common because they took up less space, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But in this house, why does it matter?
Oh, God, it's nothing but space. Yeah. Jesus.
It's huge.
Like, we're talking vaulted ceilings that are 3 floors high. Yeah. Like, this is just a massive, massive place.
Yeah, it is absurdly large.
Yeah, like this would be like a hotel, mountainside hotel kind of.
It's size. More. It's like, it is so horribly ostentatious. It's ostentatious. I think that's
to be that retardedly rich.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's one of the things that made me enjoy the original more is even though the Hill House in the original was still large and elaborate, it just didn't feel as overdone as the one in the remake.
It still looked like a house.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like something people would be living in. This doesn't look like something people would be living in.
No, it's something people tour.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it would be great to like just have that as a hotel.
Yeah.
Where is it? We got to find it.
Banff Springs.
Yeah.
It is, we got the Banff Springs near us, and it is a legendary haunted location here in Canada.
Ooh.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And it does have a huge, huge lobby.
Yeah. Well, when the original one burnt down, they rebuilt it big.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you trying to prove your lobby hotel?
Well, and it's a good thing that they have a huge lobby because moose like to wander into it.
Yes.
Yes, that is true.
It is a national park. And bears, they had bears in there.
The moose comes like going, I have a reservation. I don't know.
And the bear's just, I just came in for the buffet.
Exactly. There's nothing out there. Come on, guys.
Come on. Like, you got a huge buffet of fruits and berries and people.
Yes. Right? Does this coat make my butt look fat? Good, because I'm supposed to be. I'm going to be hibernating soon.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, not even just there. Didn't in one of the far north hospitals a bear wandered in, too?
Yeah, things happen here in Canada.
Just wild animals wandering in places. Moose through drive-thrus. Stuff happens.
Moose in Walmart. They had one 2 years ago. They had a moose in a Walmart.
Yeah.
Here in the city.
Nice.
Yeah, which, you know, that moose had to trek a long way to get there then, because generally moose aren't in the city.
There was one, I was on the train once, there was one wandering around by Southland.
Yeah. Oh, they're in the city quite a bit, but they don't usually get that far in before somebody reports them and police and wildlife
trank
come out and track it and get it back out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that one managed to make it under the radar somehow and walk through the automatic doors in a Walmart.
I'm kind of impressed by moose like that. I'm like, you're pretty amazing.
You know what the best part is that moose walked into the busiest Walmart in Western Canada.
Wow, that's a moose with something to prove.
It really is.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, back to rats.
They had a sale on ice cream.
Exactly. Moose tracks. Is that for me?
All right, well, you guys have any other thoughts about this film you want to bring up here? Because they're both, the original one's a classic.
It's classic.
The other one's a mess.
They're both very watchable.
I still think I was shocked when I saw the Rotten Tomatoes ratings because I think the IMDb sitting in around that 5 mid-range mark. That seems about right to me because like it's definitely not as well made as the original, despite the much bigger budget. Well, it just goes to show money doesn't always make a better movie.
Really indicative of that late 90s cop-out. Instead of doing filmmaking, we're doing computer-generated effects.
Yeah, I mean, that was just in 90s was excess in movies, and I was almost tapping out of everything, because especially action movies and stuff, because they were just getting so ridiculous.
Yeah, thanks to Terminator 2. I mean, really, that was the one that sort of set that benchmark that people are following. Is like, well, if T2 can do it so well, we should be doing it too, not realizing how much effort went into making T2 work as well as it did.
You know, oddly, the stuff I hate the most in the remake is also the stuff I like about it, because when they're using these CGI early on, it's really subtle. And it because you're using it on polished woods and doors and all sorts of little things, it doesn't seem as glaring, especially considering it's and I think that's why it stood up as well as it has for us, I think, in this movie, because it is using it on natural objects rather than trying to create something whole cloth. And I kind of like that manipulation. And then when it does start creating ghosts and things and it gets really wild, then it
gets cartoony.
It looks cartoony and stupid, and it doesn't hold up as well. Yeah. Like that 20-year-old CGI is starting to show.
Yeah. And I mean, the two practical effects, that's all they used in the whole original movie, was that pulsing door, which looked fucking great still today.
It was just rubber and guys pressing against it.
Yeah, but it looks fabulous.
It did.
And then there's subtlety of just that face appearing in the wallpaper, right? And I mean, it's so simple, but it worked. And I'm watching going, that's still kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's nothing, it's weird, because to me there's nothing as creepy as what I think is a solid object becoming unsolid and something coming out of it. Like, that's just so disturbing, because you're like, your world is a little bit messed up after that.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the practical versus CGI a lot, and I believe CGI has its place, but I still love a really well-done practical effect.
You know, you think back to when we covered Nightmare on Elm Street, and you got Freddy in the original film pushing against that wall, and how great that just practical effect looks. Next to like them doing a similar thing in CGI, and it just looked better in the original film because it was done practically.
Because
and
it was real,
and you can react to that.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that. I still, like I said, I still think that there is a place for CGI, and they do it very, very well now, for the most part. Right. But you can tell when they took their budget and went, okay, well, we're going to do CGI, and didn't have enough money to do it properly. Every time you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, they blew their entire budget on this CGI, and it still wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And this kind of is how this movie feels.
I agree. All right. Well, I hope you guys liked our haunting episode. Mm-hmm. Next week, we get into 31 Days of Horror.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So 8 weeks of horror we gave you this year.
Many, many weeks.
Yeah.
I had to count that out because we did the horror teaser at the beginning, plus our 5 episodes in October, plus this one, plus that's 9. That's 9 weeks of horror you're going to get.
Yeah, we gave you a ton of horror. We gave you all the horror, hashtag all the horror. And we got to participate with other podcasts during that month.
Yeah.
If you missed it, please go back and check the at All the Horror 18 Twitter feed, because you can all those episodes from all those great podcasts that are involved with 31 podcasts dropping in over 31 days in October. They're all still available, so you can go find them and check them out, and I encourage you to do so if you still have a little bit of Halloween left in you. And we're going to give you 2 more weeks of that as we tell you our personal journeys as we watched our 31 Days of Horror Challenge, where we watched 31 movies over 31 days that we've never seen before, and we're going to tell you all about that over the next 2 weeks, and then we'll start easing out, and I guess we're going to have to start getting into the holiday mode soon.
Yeah,
it's not going to take long. No. And we had a friend also reach out to us about doing a crossover episode with her as well. So
we'll talk about that off air.
We'll see if something happens with that or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you go to the stores now, the Christmas decorations are already out.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. And
Halloween isn't even here.
They don't even wait for the candy aisle to empty out yet.
Not anymore, no.
No. No, and I have a good episode for us for Christmas. I've been wanting to do it since our first year.
Oh, well, that's going to be fun then.
We're going to do it this year, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the pervasiveness of Christmas is what I find truly horrifying about Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of people talking about how the Christmas decorations are going up as early as September now, and it's true. I mean, you go into some stores and they already had their Christmas decorations out before the Halloween decorations were out.
I seen them at the end of August in Costco.
I started shopping for Christmas in April, so. Yeah.
Well, it's one thing to start shopping
for your
presents. Another thing entirely for to start, look, be looking at decorations.
Yeah, too soon.
Yeah.
True. Well, you know, we haunt your earballs all the time, but you can help spread the word by telling your friends and family about the show. Tell them where to find us and make sure you stop by on your favorite podcast listening device or app like iTunes and Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and a short review. It helps other people find the show and certainly helps us out as well. And tell people where to find us. We're on all your favorite podcast apps, including Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, iHeartRadio, Blueberry, and
frickin' YouTube.
Frickin' YouTube. So make sure you spread the word and tell everybody where to find us. And go check out all of our back catalog. If you're a horror fan, we've got lots of horror episodes. And I'm starting to create some playlists over on YouTube if you're listening to us that way. If you're like a horror themed, you can listen to all those episodes there. The ones that are there, not everything stays there. If you want the complete library, find us on one of those other podcast apps. But we've made them available in tons of other avenues, so don't worry, you can easily find us. Just Google Invasion the Remake and you can find us on our Libsyn page.
Yeah, and iTunes, and I mean, we're the first page of results when you search Invasion of the Remake on Google. So
that's right, and make sure you go check out our friends and their podcasts as well. Yes. Support independent podcasts.
Oh yeah, and like the crossover again for like 31 Days of Horror. Listen to some of those crossover episodes. You might find another new favorite podcast you didn't even know you knew about.
Yeah, and
like,
if you love us, I mean, you want to find us in another spot. We were on several other shows this year. So yes, go check us out and go check them out because there's definitely some worthwhile podcasts. And I've discovered a few over that time as well.
Me too.
Well, when you do podcasting and you love podcasts and stuff, it's nearly impossible to find and love all the stuff that you might find and love. So events like these are a great way to sort of expose people and say, maybe, hey, there you go. There's a new favorite.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Well, that was, again, The Haunting. A little bit of a shorter episode, but, you know, we gave you like 2 hours and 15 minutes last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, long week last week. And we're coming up on a couple more long episodes this week. So
we thought we'd go easy on you and us.
Well, plus the movies themselves are long. So if you want to watch them to catch up, we're doing the shorter episode to, you know, give you a little bit of a breather.
Yeah, I did want to talk about how long these movies are. They're both almost 2 hours.
Yep.
The original movie was hour 12 and the remake's only a minute longer. And that's probably just for the special effects crew. I bet you actually the credits take up more time, so screen time's probably actually shorter in the remake. But
yeah, well, I remember getting to a certain portion of it and going like, oh my god, how much more do I have left? I had a lot left.
Yeah, it's a busy week for us this week, and when I saw how long these were, I'm like, oh man.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty much my reaction.
But, you know, they're good watches. And I did them back to back, too, because my schedule was so tight. So I had to get them all in one night.
That would have been tough.
That wasn't so bad. I've done worse, but I've learned how to spread things out a little bit better for the most part. But this week was just tight with everything we have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And had going on. So
I was stuck in back to back as well. So I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can be a little tough to watch the same movie in the same night twice.
And sometimes you want to. There have been a couple times where I'm like, oh, you know what? I really want to watch the remake now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You're right.
It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while I'm like, oh, I can't wait to watch the remake.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can't wait to tell you what we're going to be doing after 31 days. I got it in the back of my brain. I can't wait to do it. Yay. And it's a nice one to kind of ease us out, but has some horror elements to it, but it's a little more science fiction. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, we're remaking something that week too.
That is. That's a remake, so.
Yay.
It's an obscure one. It might be, I'll have to see if we can find it first.
True. Sometimes there's ones I want to do. Actually, most of the ones I tell you I want to do, we can't get.
Yeah. You go too obscure on me sometimes.
I go very obscure. I mean,
but we'll find them at some point because there's some on that list that I want to do as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some that I'm like, I really want to see this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We just have to find it.
Mm-hmm.
I will find them someday.
Yes. There is a French one that we want to do because there's a big budget American remake, but we're having a hell of a time finding the French ones.
A dickens of a time.
Yeah. We'll get there. We'll find it eventually because we want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If any of our French listeners happen to know where it is,
please contact us.
Yeah, please contact us. You probably know what it is. Some of you have even told us about it.
Yes. It needs, but we need a subtitled version. Otherwise, it's not helpful.
I have moderately passable French. That is not going to cut it.
Yeah. Even if we can get like a PAL copy, I can play a PAL copy. So
yeah,
we'll figure it out somehow.
Yes.
Might have to get on French Amazon or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, with that, I've been Jason.
I'm always Sam.
I continue to be Trish.
And we are out of here.
I set dinner on the dining room sideboard at 6. Breakfast is at 9. I don't stay after dinner. Not after it begins to get dark. I leave before dark comes. So there won't be anyone here if you need help.
We couldn't even hear you.
No one could. No one lives any nearer than town.
No one will come any nearer than that.
In the night.
In the dark.